the NKTBS repeater use PL151.4. NK2BS repeat. This is the NK2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NK2BS repeat. This is the NK2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
And the 2K.
This is the NK2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NK2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTG. We'll start the check net in 1 minute. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations of emergency or priority traffic? Please call KTBAR. Okey-doke, nothing hurt. That's always a good thing. Again, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And welcome to the TechNet. I've been gone for the last couple of weeks on business and personal activities, so hopefully the net's were at least functional and got you going. In any case, this net is a weekly net conducted for the purpose of having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural arts and sciences that underlie our hobby, and of course, our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we aspire to do again, and of course, things we hope we never do again. Sometimes they make for the best stories. Finally, you're more than welcome to discuss, your for sale wanted and swap items. So hopefully we'll hear from you. Alrighty, with no further ado, are there any stations who who have alpha call signs would like to check in? Please check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted, or some combination of those things, or none of the above.
AC2GI, Rich, no comments, no questions.
Wow, good evening, Rich. Nice to hear you. Of course, it had to be that night where I took a little longer to bootstrap my logging app. All right, so out comes the pin. Welcome aboard. And the other alphas. Okay, how about Novembers? Alrighty. How about Whiskeys?
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Okay, Jim, very good. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India, Sierra Echo, no traffic.
Okay, very good. Nice to hear you, Bob. Any other Whiskeys? Alrighty. How about Kilos?
Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Good evening, Gordon. Kai, Kilo Alpha India. No questions, no comments. Just listening, just checking in. I may be away soon, so just checking in. Good evening.
be nice hearing you, Kai. Well, we can do a little DMR, we can do a little fusion today. Ah, it's a beautiful thing. Alrighty, any other kilos?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Alright, any other stations, any call sign? Alrighty. Well, just as a reminder, we will be using the ComTech group, Yahoo group, to send out information regarding the net tonight. I hope that that you can find it. If you can't for any reason, give me an email at w2ttt@att.net. It is a closed group, so you won't get all sorts of junk and craziness. Alrighty. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was out in California on business, and I was hoping to meet up with some of the guys from the Arden Group in California, but they all tend to be further south, more toward San Diego and areas between San Diego and, let's say, Anaheim, and I must say, getting around in that corridor is brutal at almost any time of day. And so, you know, people are not willing to sit in traffic or even engage in traffic. I'm a little disappointed by that, but it is what it is. I've taken to doing something since I got back last weekend. Kind of getting a chance to kind of just chill, and I got thinking about my mesh stuff, and I had bought a bunch of low cost 5 gig gear, you know, single chain, you know, no MIMO type of stuff. I bought a couple of air grids without the grid, without the power supply for that matter. And I also got a couple of bullets. And, well, bullets and air grids are okay. They don't really perform all that well. But I said I got a bunch of them really inexpensively. And so I said, you know, what am I going to do with them? I was thinking about networking around the property. Just to not, you know, deconflict things and not have multiple two gig things coming off the property or multiple 900s coming off the property, just the one on the house as a default. But then what I decided to do was to use the 5 gig stuff as a way to ensure that no matter where else I put some of my complex nodes, my field node, my mobile node, let me drop it, or the home node itself, that they would all, no matter what, mesh on 5 gigs, even if I had done other things with them in between. So I got thinking some more, and as you guys may be aware, if you change out the hardware in Arden, you get a whole new set of IP addresses. So, short of a failure in having to swap it, what I've decided is that all my semi-permanent stuff is going to get an IP address from a 5 gig device that will mesh. And then, what I did to make things even more exciting, I moved it down to channel 133. Know why 133? It was away from everything that is in the normal 5 gig infrastructure here. I have a video access bridge for my DirecTV, and I have a 5 gig hotspot, and they pick different channels, but no one picks those mid-band frequencies for whatever reason. So I chose to use that from my Arden mesh, and that seems to have worked pretty well. So slowly but surely, Now, my field node and my mobile node are pretty much there. I have one or two things for my home to set up. But I'll set that again up off the 5 gig. And things will mesh pretty nicely. So you got a couple of advantages. You have a stable DHCP, allows you to mix and match your 900, your 2.4, and possibly your 3 gig stuff. And 5 gig being the shortest range, you know, makes for a good, should we say, what I'll call congregate backbone. So the other thing is that I picked 20 megs wide, so it's really, really fast, no problem. That would be that. So I figure I'd tell that tale of intrigue and interest, and we'll go from there. Anybody have any thoughts? Okay, was there another station? All right, well, the next thing will be to, and I was going to ask some advice about this. Has anyone built a server that, you know, is on two networks? I've done it for SSH, so I could basically pass through and, you know, log in and pass through. Has anyone actually done an automatic gateway so that, you know, traffic on one net can be selectively bridged across and you get access to the IPs on the other without having to do endless amounts of port mapping? Basically, what I want to do is I want to have a SSH, besides an SSH server, I want to essentially get a web server so that I essentially can log into one of my nodes from the public internet, you know, in a secure manner, and then, you know, navigate around my ham mesh when I'm not home. I mean, I've thought about doing it with no IP, but that requires its own little dance. It's kind of bulky. I want to basically go in with a web browser to a particular IP, hit a screen, authenticate, and then be able to navigate across the ham mesh web interface with impunity. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Okay. Well, one of the things I'm going to have to do, I know, is probably map port 80 to something else, because it's not clear to me that all my internet carriers, cell one and the and cable, will allow port 80 access from the public side. So I might have to map something else to port 80 or port 8080 on the local side. All right. Anybody have anything they'd like to discuss? Jim, why don't we ask you, and then Kai is going to ask you what's new in the world of digital. WATUMP, KTBAR.
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. Let's see, what's new? Linking is coming along. I've satisfied the... initially, I had a couple of problems. One is, how to link, what equipment to use, where to put the equipment, and what to link to. Those are my three issues, and we solved at least two and a half of them. The way I'm linking now, I'm using, now remember that I'm talking about the 442.9 Alpine repeater, and most of you know that has System Fusion or C4FM, and I'm able to link it with an OpenSpot, which is a pretty handy device, has a whopping 20 milliwatts output, and with a Yagi, indoor Yagi in my living room pointed directly at the repeater, I'm able to link it to any number of rooms that are available on Brandmeister. Good stuff. Let me let it drop a second. And I also have one more pretty cool device. I've mentioned it before. There's one ham in Germany that sells a small linear, and it boosts up the 20 milliwatt signal. I can get, theoretically you can get 10 watts out, but I don't usually put it above 5, and I only normally leave it on about 200 milliwatts, which is really all I need, and it runs cool at 200 milliwatts, even 5 watts, it's barely warm. So that gives me extra power, and it boosts that up, gives me a hotspot and an ability to link to the, very easily link to the 442.9 repeater. So that was that technical problem has been solved. The other issue is what to link to, and this is where I had to get a little bit creative. On Saturdays, we've been linking to Saturday afternoons. We link to the Minnesota Room, a group of good people, not just out in the Midwest. And then in the evening, there's a net on the International Wires Net. International Wires XNet, that comes on around 9 o'clock. I switch over to that on the America link and let that play. And most recently on Monday night, I've been putting on, there's a Minnesota TechNet with all different topics, mostly about digital stuff. Let me let it drop a second. Okay, and during the net, I link to a particular room so that folks, if you have a DV4 Mini or an open spot, you can check in. And that has helped a bit by picking up attendance. For example, we did have one gentleman into OKB, normally in Monroe, New York. He was in Florida in his summer home. He was able to log into the net, too. So that has helped in picking up attendance a bit. So linking is coming along. We still don't have any repeaters in the area that we'd like to link to permanently, but we've been linking to these other rooms and having a lot of fun with it, and the participants have been enjoying it too. So with that, I'll turn it back to net control.
Very good, Jim. That's excellent. Have there been any latency or jitter problems?
Not really. Marco was on the net yesterday, and on Tuesday, and he was having some kind of jittery issues, but I'm not sure if he was either too far or too close, and we're going to do a little troubleshooting. Most of the time it works pretty well, and if I set up my handheld and listen to the open spot transmitting and on another radio, the repeater receiving, there's about maybe a quarter of a second delay. Most of the time, everything works pretty well. If it comes in on the open spot, I can retransmit it, and it works pretty good. There are situations where you get some packet loss, but I haven't seen any packet loss between me and the repeater. Even when I'm just using the 20 milliwatts, it's amazing that I can do 8 miles with an indoor antenna with 20 milliwatts and have it work, although I do use a whopping 200 milliwatts most of the time. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, very good. That's very, very good. Anybody have any questions for Jim? All right, Mr. Jim. Works for me. I just came up here, and my machine was working, and it started to act oddly, so I rebooted, and now it says insert boot media or select device. I think I have a problem on the BIOS. Had that before. I've seen that. Oh, boy. Anyway, something else to go fix. Something to mess with. See what happens. Anyway. I want to ask Kai. Kai, what's going on the DMR front?
Good evening. Kai, Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Some new things on DMR. As you may be aware, I only talk about either A, announced products, or B, products that I have personally
evaluated or played with. So towards the end of the year last year, there was a new handheld from Kinect Systems, the CS580. It's a small size, compact size DMR HT single band, either VHF or UHF, and it's meant to compete with the MD380. I'm going to drop. The second item, the one I actually just got it two days ago, and I'm going to be evaluating over the next few weeks, is the CS760. Basically, these are comparable in form factor to the Motorola XPR 7550, VHF and UHF, the UHF being it operates full range from 400 to 512 megahertz. So I'll be providing comments over the next few weeks on that. And the third item, I'm going to drop. The third item, I've been looking at it for some time, but I think it's probably at the maturity enough point where I could probably play with, is something called the MMDVM. It takes two mobile radios and with a small board and a Arduino and a Raspberry Pi, we'll turn the two mobiles into a mixed mode, analog, DMR, Fusion, or D-Star repeater. So I hope to be sending some information up to the Yahoo group for consideration. That's all I got. Back to net.
Okay, so, gee, that's a couple of things. So there's the 580, which comes in a VHF or UHF, low-end HT, FM, and DMR, and then there's this, you said the CS760, which is a, shall we say, a more fully featured radio, again, VHF or UHF. Then you mentioned the MMDVM as a kind of a mixed-mode repeater bit with a Raspberry Pi. So could you kind of expand on that? And, you know, I guess you provide the radios and the mixed mode, so what is it? It actually is a bridge back and forth between two repeaters so that you can put FM on one side and your choice of digital on the other, and or two different digitals, et cetera. Is that the plan? Is that how that works?
My understanding is that I'll upload the information either today or tomorrow. But essentially, it looks like a baseband controller and a codecs, so that it just uses the audio portion to send out the necessary waveforms, whether it's DMR or Fusion C4FM or D-Star. So it's a neat little thing. It also makes use of equipment that would be otherwise retired or disposed of. So it sounds like it's a good thing. Back to that.
Okay, so you can use like an old FM radio and get it to come up and be a DMR radio, basically?
Yes, that is correct. In fact, the PDF that I'll be uploading has an example specifically using a pair of Motorola CDM 1250 commercial-grade mobile analog radios.
Excellent. Excellent. That sounds like the days when I used to run a D-Star hotspot using a one of those boards that was it NE2I produced, and then I would my RF deck was an Alinco DR135 that was set down to a reasonably low power just so I wouldn't cook the thing. But that was great. Okay, so same idea except in this case using a Motorola deck. If I had a GM 300, could I use the GM 300 radios for this purpose?
I'll also include a link to the webpage where there's a wiki on what folks found out so far, what works, what does not work, what conditionally works. I believe the GM300 is in there, but I am unable to recall at this time whether it's compatible or not. But it is there. Back to that.
Yeah, it might be fine, because I have a GM300, or GR300 repeater, and if I could just interface the two GM300s that are in there to, you know, to be a bridge, that'd be excellent. Might be interesting to be able to back those up with, you know, for instance, to the Alpine repeater with C4 FM on one side and somebody's DMR repeater on the other, and be able to somehow control it from one side or the other to turn it on. That would be hilarious. Oh, I love it. Especially for these repeaters that have, should we say, an institutional constraint on on-site networking. You know, like the BCFMA repeaters don't have on-site internet, and neither does Chestnut Ridge. So you tie them together, and then you put an internet bridge at a point in between, and wouldn't that be exciting? Alrighty, anybody else?
Yeah, WA2UMP with a question and a comment for Kai.
Go right ahead, Jim.
Okay, Kai, I did see that webpage, I think it's the MMDVM modem, or I may be mispronouncing it. It looked very intriguing. One of the things, and I don't think you mentioned it, that you could also, in addition to using it as a repeater, you could also hook it up to any transceiver that had a serial interface, and it would turn it into a DMR, a D-Star, or I don't think a C4FM yet, but they were talking about that. Is that a true assumption? Go ahead.
Yeah, that seems to be the case according to the write-up. And as far as repeaters that are being used in service, I believe a number of them are in used in service, used exactly in that way. Not as a hotspot, but as a full-blown repeater using two mobiles. I believe a couple of them are in the Central Jersey area. All you got to do is go to the Randmeister, look up 3134, and you'll see all the ones registered in New Jersey. You'll see their composition. Back to that.
Okay, one additional observation that I had, it looked a little bit, I guess the best way to phrase this would be still kind of new and beta-ish, and most of the people partaking were more technically sophisticated. It was definitely not plug and play. So it looked like it's in its early stages of development, and might be a little bit challenging to get it to work. I have no doubt that you'll be able to get it to work, and so I'm interested in your experience with this. Let me turn it back to you for a comment on my comment. Go ahead.
Okay. Like I said, so far I've just read the documentation. I've watched a couple of videos. I'm not ready to get the board yet, but I do have access to some repeaters that I'm still researching on, some analog repeaters. Just want to make sure that they have the necessary connectivity to convert them into these mixed mode units, so that once I do, I'll probably pull the trigger. But as far as having something realistically set up, I probably won't have anything till later in the year. I got a couple of projects. Next few months, I got to finish up. So after that's done, they'll be able to pave the way for that. Back to net.
Interesting. These other projects, are they worth conversation as well?
They're actually pretty boring, and I just have to get on my butt and finish. So, yep. I'll be done with that. With probably over in the next 2 or 3 months. I got some deadlines to catch, so back to that.
NJ2BS, repeat.
WA2UMP with one final question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, this is one additional question for Kai. Kinect Systems has been promising a dual-band DMR transceiver. Looked like it was going to be cloned from the CS-800. Can you comment on the status of that, and will we see it, or are we talking vaporware? Go ahead.
I believe the founder, Jerry Ranger, he has a page on social media that he does provide updates to. And as you may be aware, as I've indicated in the beginning of the net, probably at each net session, I only comment on stuff that that I've personally handled. So if I've not handled it, I don't discuss it. But I believe Jerry does have updates on his page, if you can find it on social media. It is an open page, so you don't have to ask for permission to join. Back to that.
A wise man answering the question in a wise way.
Very, very tactful.
I thought so. Alrighty. Well, let's see. Tomorrow night I'll be down at Fairlawn, and I'm gonna be bring my mobile node down. It won't be mounted on the car yet, so I'll be bringing it down, and I'll be messing with it probably before the business meeting at 7:30. So should be there around 6, and we can go through stuff at that point. Looking forward to messing with that. I also have to unbrick an M900. I accidentally put the wrong code in. And since the node belongs to Dave and 3UXK, I guess I need to unbrick it. Hi. So, let's see. What else has been going on? Anybody else have anything they want to talk about or anything they aspire to do?
WA2ISE. Hi, Gordon. Something I was trying to do but I gave up on was trying to hook up a USB memory stick to a WRT54G router with OpenWRT flashed onto it. I was trying this and that and installing this and that, but I could never find the contents on the USB stick, even though I could see the lights flashing on the stick. Over.
Okay, so you have a router that's not running mesh code, that is running OpenWRT, and you on that router, there's a USB port with a memory stick, and you wanted to basically access it as though it was a, what do you call it, like a mini NAS?
That's essentially it. Basically, I was hoping to go away from just putting my websites and stuff that I have on the mesh instead of putting them into empty spaces on the flash of a mesh node. I've migrated to putting it onto flash of a an open WRT a router that I have connected to the LAN of a mesh node to basically keep the node less cluttered. I'll drop it for a second. And I was hoping that I could go further with a USB stick so I could update the web pages without having to end up with wasted flash. Over.
Okay, so all those web pages you have mounted are actually mounted in nodes?
What I did before was have them mounted in nodes, but I've heard said that, that makes your nodes not really standard anymore, so I decided to pull them off of the nodes and put them onto a secondary router running open WRT, not a node, and put them into the flash of those things. Over.
But you haven't realized that objective yet because of the problem of finding the USB stick, right?
That's right. And after hacking around with it, and I was participating in I put it on open WRT forum asking, like, oh, what do I have to do to make this work? And they suggested a number of things, but I think they're assuming a level of knowledge that's beyond what I have. Over.
Okay, so let me spare you some pain. Go get yourself like a Raspberry Pi 3. Stick your memory stick in that. Plug it on a short, Ethernet dongle into one of your nodes, or a switch off of one of your nodes, and you'll have all the web services you'll ever want.
Yeah, I was thinking I'd probably end up doing something like that, so I'll have to dig into that to see what's involved with making that happen.
Yeah, it's relatively painless. In fact, if you put a small web server on a Raspberry Pi, the index.html file will be the default page, and from that you can create all sorts of other goodies and go from there. You'll be a lot happier. Of course, you can create special files for other things and go, or special URLs, go directly to wherever you need, but that's the easiest way to do it. I mean, it is brain dead simple, and I do it all the time. In fact, I have a couple of pages that I highlight as links. I actually make them clickable links as I advertise them, and they deal with my telephony requirements, etc. So, what my IP is for that. And, if you want to build a trunk, or you want to, direct IP some of my phones or dial my phones, you can do it that way. So that's how I handle that. I haven't gone to quite the library of, should we say, happy internet resources that you have. I mean, you've got everything from, your July 4th, patriotic, a costume to, a web interface that has, if I remember right, a J-pole calculator. So, there's all sorts of stuff, but relatively easy to do.
Okay, Gordon, K2BAR, WA2ISE. Yeah, it's probably what I'll end up doing is going that way. I'll have to dig into, research that into, figure out how to actually make it happen, but I'll take that offline. So anyway, well, 73 is W2TTT is WA2ISC, clear.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, hopefully that'll work for you. You don't even need a Pi 3, but if you're going to spend money, go buy a Pi 3. I have to pick up a USB Ethernet interface for the project I just mentioned at the top of this colloquy, so we'll go from there. On a different note, well, actually, let's finish this, as I do have something SDR-related, oddly enough, but we'll stick with this for another minute or so. Anybody else have anything more? Okay, so part of the reason for getting all this working is that I want to have some remote RF on the mesh. I want to get my mesh speeds up and be able to control radios in the car from when I'm not in the car, and the like. That's part of the strategy here, and that you need to have a fairly decent performance in order to, you know, bring your audio around and, you know, control stuff and things like that. You don't want a high latency kind of environment doing that. Let's see, what else did I want to mention? But that's the reason for all that. So switching gears a little bit, I was able to get an SDR Play 2, and I've been messing with it. This month's QST has an article on it, which I thought was kind of amusingly coincidental. And I've been running HD SDR and also SDR console and SDR Uno, depending on my mood. Each has their own pluses and minuses, but a week from Sunday, we're going to do a talk on RFI detection using an SDR. And, oh, do I have some really interesting graphics. I found a 28 megahertz, or 27 megahertz, essentially welder, plastic welder, and there's a whole shop of about a dozen of these things. And it was interfering with one of our cell sites at work, but I looked at the frequency and said, gee, I wonder what happens on 6 meters and not even on 10 meters, and it just tears them up. So I've got some really interesting waterfall displays because these things are not frequency stable. They kind of wander all over God's green earth, and they're harmonically rich. So it'll be very interesting. That'll be part of what we'll show a week from Sunday at the Barra meeting. And using an SDR Play and a simple dipole at about a mile, we were able to isolate where it was coming from. It's pretty amazing. So I'll have that as part of our presentation in a week. We also, I've been playing around with an old AM broadcast ferrite loop, and that's been pretty good too for characterizing you know, things like switching power supplies that might be noisy and such like that in the home. What I'd like to do is have it, what do they call it, over time, communicate with your phone or interface to your phone, which you can do, and with that, essentially save not only what you're watching, but also, because it's got a record function, but also allow you to essentially hunt around for something portable, something more portable than a laptop anyway. So we'll be showing that off a little bit as well for switching power supplies and other broadband noise. And today I started weaving, that's the right way to describe it, weaving a 4-foot loop of wire. I took some fairing strip, screwed stuff together, and I have built myself a 4-foot square loop, and so we'll be using that as a as essentially a null probe. These are off the ends, you get a sharp null, so that'll help me identify where things are and you know, we're hunting. And then lastly, we're going to take a look at what some of everyday signals look like when we drop it. W2TTTK to be here. Lastly, what we're going to do is look at everyday signals, so leakage out of the cable system, especially their little boxes, their multiplexers, their optical to coax interfaces, and also traffic signals. Green LED traffic lights are just nasty. And then finally, we're going to hunt around and look at different implementations of solar panels on a sunny day. be gathering that over the weekend and into next week, and we'll be collecting what that HF signal looks like and also the VHF signal looks like. And the SDR play will be very handy to help with that. So I'll be tooling around with some directional antennas and checking out some of my neighbor's solar installations from the street. So I'm sure it's going to turn a few heads, but that's all right. And we'll try to have some of that reported to everybody at the Barrett meeting. So that's kind of what's going on in my world. Using SDR to hunt down and to characterize what you're looking at. Hopefully, either, you know, count in or count out various sources being a source of annoyance in your ham shack. Any questions, comments, confusions? Everybody have any favorite interface or any kind of noise generators that they've encountered over time they'd like to talk about?
W2TTT, W2IC. My brother tells me that I set off the smoke alarms in the house when transmitting for a while. Over.
I've had that happen in my house when I ran a lot of power on 40 meters, but I don't get to run a lot of power anymore. I only run 100 watts, so that seems to have solved the problem. The antenna is only a couple of feet above the house, and that was part of the problem. So what was your profile looking like that caused the smoke detectors? I'm sorry, who reported it?
Okay, it's Bob here, WA2ISE. This there 2-meter rig running about, I think it's about 35 watts, and it's about 10 feet away from the nearest smoke alarm.
NJ2BS, repeat.
So your antenna is 10 feet from the smoke alarm, and at 35 watts on 2 meters, it would set off the smoke alarm, really?
I would have to talk for a good while. I guess something was charging up. The smoke alarms are on network, so that might be an issue.
Yeah, I found the smoke alarm and CO2 detector, because they were separate, at the top of the stairs on the third floor. If I basically left them running but unnetworked them, the problem went away. It basically unplugged them from the cabling that fed them the rest of the house, put them on separate brackets. That worked fine.
Okay, I had some issues with HF, but this is the first time I ran into a problem with VHF. Anyway, so K2BAR, WA2IC, clear.
Okay, very good. Well, my biggest problems are switching power supplies. And, in the old days it was plasma TVs, but they're all gone now. Thank God. But they've been replaced by other things. Anybody else have any thoughts? Okay, very good. Well, any other topics people would like to bring up? Okay, well, just a reminder, the Fairlawn's meeting is tomorrow, and it is actually the first Friday of the month, so we will have a business meeting. Barra will not have a meeting on the first Sunday of the month because it's the Super Bowl, so they will be meeting next week, and Chuck Lemkin and I will be doing a presentation on noise. I've got another piece on DSL and VDSL that I didn't talk much about, but I'll, save that for the meeting. Very, very interesting how we were able to correlate our performance to what was going on in the in free space. Anyway, I wish everybody well, and I hope that everybody has a pleasant evening. And sorry I've been missing the last couple of weeks, but it's good to see everybody still dragging themselves back, and hopefully we'll have a pretty active net next week as well. We'll see you then. This is K2BAR, W2TTT,
signing clear at 673. God bless.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. Thank you. NJ2BS, repeat.